If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as we're back here with a late night edition of The Wrap, recapping the fallout from the night after WrestleMania 42, going down live from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. The last time we will see Las Vegas for a very long time, hopefully. But what a way to cap off a very long WrestleMania weekend. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the current NXT Speed Champion, Rin Sinclair. I bring to you back on the wrap, as always, the one, the only, for the second night in a row, Perky Scott Young. Welcome back, Perks.
Thanks for having me, Keela. It's always a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. You know, in all fairness, this is essentially WrestleMania night three, and I'll take this over night one. So that's where we're at right here. But this was a good follow up. Some intriguing twists and turns that happened, and we also got some mic drops, some call ups.
Literal.
Can't ask for much more.
We had literal mic drops. We had NXT call-ups. We had some surprise challengers for the World Heavyweight Championship, a very newsworthy episode of Monday Night Raw. I enjoyed the show for the most part, and this was technically WrestleMania Night 3 with longer matches than some matches combined for WrestleMania Night 1.
Well, I saw somewhere on the interwebs that night one was TKO, night two was WWE. So take that for what you want.
Yeah, I saw that too. Like, was it a TKO special Saturday night? Most likely. Sunday night was a Paul Levesque production. The man is hiding out, and I don't blame him. Lessons learned from DC during John Cena's last match last December. Like, now you know that it's best for you to hide out, work in silence, do your job. And when you do well, just stay humble. Stay away from the spotlight, go on Twitter, and stalk appropriately, as you always do on your burners. But shout out to Fernando. As he said, happy 420 day to us. Thank you, Fernando. I will throw up the smokes in solidarity, even though I'm an asthmatic. I can't partake. Sorry.
Yeah, why don't you just stay away from that, dude? Don't be throwing up nothing. Don't even be near it.
I said in solidarity, proverbially speaking, I cannot light it up. I'm like Donkey from Shrek. I'm asthmatic. I can't do that.
That's all right. Everybody, there's plenty of people that'll do it for you, so you ain't got to worry about it.
Yes. As Fernando mentions that Jacob Fatu and Roman Reigns at Backlash, take my money right now. We'll get to that closing segment in just a moment. As Fernando also notes, night one was Raw and SmackDown super shows. Essentially speaking, yes.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. You got a really good match with Seth Gunther, and then the rest of it was just there. I will say, looking back at it, retrospective looking back, I think we've come such a long way that we like really take for granted. Like, iShow Speed did a really good job. Like, it's, you know, for this kind of essentially being his first match. Like, I just think we take for granted now, like when celebrities come in, and this dude went out and I thought he had a really good match. Just looking back at it for night one, just trying to find some more positives.
Listen, I've been trying to find them. I'm trying to, like, you know, go post-mortem and try to be positive, try to, upon further reflection, that's how I start, upon further review. Was this one of the worst WrestleManias of all time? No. But it was just a weak night. As you said, I show speed. Listen, I saw the pre-show, all 3 hours of it, because I was looking for anything triple law noteworthy in terms of a purchase, and none of that happened this year. But he came over like such a big baby face, so likable and so sweet. I'm like, this is a baby face. Look at that face. Look at his humility. It's adorable. And I just think that he has a bag that has not been fully unloaded yet, that we got like a little tease here and there, and they are going to run it back with Logan Paul at some point, I do believe. But I was really impressed by him. Great respect for the business, very humble. And I forget, he's just 21 years old. He's a baby. He's like Javon Evans' age. He's a baby. But I think he's very likable as a baby face, and that his, and that is his role moving forward.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's definitely the reason that they laid the match out the way they did. He got his big spot. So, no, it was cool. It was just, yeah, it wasn't a lot of good. But night two was just so good that it's going to just come shadow. And then, you know, WWE, one thing they're always great at is these video packages. They're going to, it's going to be all night two, and you're just going to see sprinkles of night one. But, which is fine, it's going to work, but that's what's going to happen.
Yes. And Curry Head, welcome to the party. Good evening to you. I know that you're here because Oba came through on Sunday, as he did, you know, and I feel very happy about that. I am relieved. Triple H does see color after all of this time. Will he continue to see color through the end of 2026? We shall see.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen. Two out of three, one, like Oba Femi beating Brock like that does more for him than almost any title. And Trick got to win a title. So, I mean, two out of three winning it, not bad for that that stand and deliver main event.
Yes, absolutely. As Fernando notes, that Sid Vicious's family was done dirty at the Hall of Fame ceremony. I did watch the Hall of Fame ceremony on Saturday. I survived, thank God. I endured. And shout out to AJ Styles for basically saying, listen, what I'm not going to do is keep y'all here to 4 o'clock in the morning like Triple H did last year. I'm going to do a 9-minute speech, get on out of here before 2:30 a.m. Eastern time. And he let the people go home by 11:30 out west. God bless him. Thank him for that. But the legacy wing of the Hall of Fame, those inductions sucked because you had the families there in the audience and they got no pop. It was like, what is this? It's very disrespectful in some ways that if you're going to take this seriously, take it seriously. Don't give them like the bootleg wing of the Hall of Fame. Put them in the actual Hall of Fame. It's okay to go there, celebrate these careers, and just not use them for a Legends deal for marketing purposes.
Yeah, that's WWE being the monster that it is, just always looking for the corporate side instead of worrying about the other side. So, yeah, it's something they got to get right if you want to be taken serious and you want people to take these inductions serious.
Yeah, and accept the invitations, you know, obviously, like, you know, right. They say it's an honor. And then you go there and they say, sit down in the crowd. And then we play your 1-minute video package. You're going to stand up to no pop from the crowd. It was just staggering to see the non-reaction for Bad News Brown and Sid Vicious. And the family went on the socials and said, this was shitty. This was very lazily put together by WWE and they have to do better. And I agree. If you're going to fly me all the way out to Vegas or any venue for that matter for a Hall of Fame induction ceremony, you got to do better than that. You got to come correct. And I thought that was very lazy of them. As Fernando noted, Stephanie, her induction video package alone was 9 minutes. And then the induction speech was not as long as her husband's, but it was still very long. But she's a headliner and she's a McMahon. So she is going to do what she's going to do ultimately. But the true tea of her speech was the fact that Shane McMahon is outside looking in. And Declan, with that tweet last year, was throwing shade and my daddy should be in the Hall of Fame. He meant that with his whole chest, apparently, because Shane ain't talking to that side of the family at all.
Yeah, Triple H was like, word, you making threats? Guess who headlining next year, buddy? You making threats? That's what's going on here, brother. Yeah, I mean, that's your TV show right there.
Yes.
You know, we've been talking about the Divas and the NXT and they, that's your TV show right there. The McMahons, Hemsleys, all of them. All of them going down, all of it, the whole shebang. That's your show.
I need like a true E Hollywood story about what's going on, because Stephanie was very direct saying we ain't getting along right now. I got love for him and his wife and his kids. I'm still auntie at the end of the day. I'm still little sis. That's still my sis-in-law. We ain't getting along. There's no Thanksgiving dinners. We ain't breaking bread at Christmas. There's no Hallmark card exchanges for the holidays. We ain't cool right now. And I knew someone was up, and that man was at MSG and got no graphics. So I know something's going on. That man got no comp tickets. That man paid to get into MSG. There was no family discount.
Oh, that's all right. You know, soon enough, he's going to show up on AEW and say he bought Ring of Honor.
So even Tony says, you know what? I don't have time for this. Like, I am not here to play out some McMahon pseudo drama. I'm good. I'm Gucci. I'm fine. And shout out to Curry Head again. Just got back from Vegas. He was at WrestleMania on the scene. So Curry Head, whenever you have a chance, I need your thoughts on night one, if you survived. And then your thoughts on night two in the chat, because I know that Oba's victory made you very happy. We'll dive into that in a moment. But as Fernando notes, Hulk Hogan got more screen time than most stars. He certainly did. If you had Netflix, that's all you saw during the ad break. You probably saw 30 minutes of a documentary. There's no need for you to tune in on Wednesday. You saw enough. And I'm good, because I wasn't going to tune in anyway. Now, you know, Fernando, you know, sir, you know, Eric, listen, he walked through that door 6 years ago. He ain't walking through that door. Shane will walk through that door first still before that happens.
Yeah, that'd be a landmark moment of a man going into the opposing company.
Again, the check must be fresh and clean for him to do that. But before we get to Monday Night Raw, I do want to briefly brag and celebrate the fact that my Hawks won at MSG tonight. Love that for me. Tied the series 1-1. You know what, Scott? I told you this is going to be a very scary series for the Knicks. So to you. But congrats to your Lakers. You won game one. We'll see what you do for game two.
Listen, man, people are acting surprised. I'm not surprised. It's King James. Like, LeBron's on the team. Why are people surprised that stuff like this happens? Nobody's a greater enabler than LeBron James when it comes to making somebody feel like they should be a number one option. And that's what he does to his role players. He just gives them that confidence to be like, no, dude, you do it today. I believe in you. So that's what he did for Lukey Kennard. And that's what we're doing, man. We just out here trying to win games, playing ball the right way, and we got King James leading the charge.
That's adorable. I love that for you for one night. We'll see if it carries over for game two. We're going to pray for you on that. And then Curry had notes from his experience. Night one was bad booking, and night two was great booking. That was just too many commercials and a lot of downtime. I agree. The commercials were crazy. If you were on Netflix, I apologize for the hell you endured watching those Hulk Hogan ads. I do. For me, it was just ESPN Unlimited, and I just got up between matches. I survived. I was on my phone. I endured, and I'm good, mostly. But night two definitely redeemed itself to make the weekend feel like this was WrestleMania at the end of the day. As Fernando comes through by noting, the Orlando Magic are going to shock the world and eliminate the first seed. Do you foresee that?
Absolutely not. The Orlando Magic are the most inconsistent team in the league. they showed up. They delivered game one, but Detroit's about to come back, handle business. I just don't see them having that great of a regular season and then all of a sudden just falling apart. It happens. They lost focus. Probably thought they were just going to walk the dog. They didn't. Came in lackadaisical. Won't happen again.
Agreed. Like Orlando, I want to trust in them. And they had the layup to actually be like a top 4 or 5 seed in the East. And they fumbled due to their inconsistencies all season long. So they got the win. They broke the monotony of all the home teams winning the first game of the playoff series. So good for you. That will not happen again. They will get completely dominated in game 2. And I see them going home in 5. Detroit would not be caught slipping again. I do not foresee that. If we get a shocker, all well.
I mean, Detroit ain't going nowhere anyway, but I don't see them losing in the first round.
Yeah. And then LeBron James is the GOAT of catching lucky breaks. KD is injured.
I ain't got nothing to do with that. You know, if you can't keep up with a 41-year-old man, that has nothing to do with me.
Shade. All righty. Shade. But before we get to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw, I would be remiss if I don't acknowledge someone, even though they're dead wrong, they're incorrect, they're factually inaccurate, but wherever David Valentine is, he is a prophet. He was correct that Bianca was pregnant. Now, will he hit the trifecta by saying that she has twins? Because I just thought about that. Like, David was actually on the money. But is he right about the twins?
So let me tell you something. If he's correct about her being pregnant, having twins, and their names are Brianna and Brianna, or whatever two names he put into that chat, it was like Brianna Brianna and Brianna or something. We might need to call the cops. Okay. We just might need to call the police because there's no way you're getting all three of those correct.
Listen, I will need for him to give me the Powerball numbers, Mega Millions. I just want to just hit the lottery if he actually hits that trifecta. Because it's incredible that he was actually correct. He was actually right for now, outside of the twins.
And you was clowning him. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Keila. The man was trying to give you facts.
Listen, at the time I didn't know, but Bianca, she is showing. That is a bump that is at least 6 months into the pregnancy. And I'm very happy for her because that bump got big backstage on Sunday, which means she was sucking that thing in and trying to get that ab out one last time. But she is outside pregnant. And I love that for her.
Yeah, I love it for her too. Now it just means that I don't get my Royal Rumble win until 2028.
Well, you might get it in 2027. If she's out that far along, you might get it in 2027.
No need to rush it. Let her take her time because Naomi's got to come back too.
Yes.
So go ahead and spread that out. Let Bianca get her moment. Go ahead and let Rhea keep the title for the next 2 years. And then Bianca come back when the Rumble be like, my turn.
Yeah. And speaking of Naomi, thank you, Jay, for going on Hot Ones and telling us very loudly that you love Jimmy's newborn baby. Thank you for confirming that we had a healthy delivery. Thank you.
That's cool. So yes. She might be back come Royal Rumble time.
She might. Very well possible. So happy for all the babies and all the future gens coming through in WWE, headlining WrestleMania 100 in some time. Trust and believe that. But now let's get to Monday Night Raw, the night after WrestleMania, the biggest Monday Night Raw of the year. And we kick things off the recap from night 1 and night 2 of WrestleMania in Vegas. And then we get the moment we've been waiting for, which is Obafemi, the ruler, coming out to a huge ovation. They're doing the Obastrut. Fans are into it. He is over getting the chants. Oba, Oba, Oba. much love and respect and appreciation. And Oba keeps it short, sweet, simple. The ruler has arrived. Mic drop. I'm out in his Sunday's best. I can't be mad at it.
Very, I mean, it's just a solid statement. It's, you know, letting you know, and the crowd's completely with it. It's very interesting that the first face you saw coming down to the ring was Oba Femi. I think that's very telling of what they see in him. Again, you don't just give somebody a win over Brock for no reason. And I'm curious to see who gets fed to him next. Just on the way to SummerSlam or wherever he's going to be before he gets to that title, because whoever it is, it's got to be somebody that either it can be imposing to him and there's only a handful of people, or it's got to be somebody who's just really good and we're just going to see where he's at. Maybe Omos comes back. I mean, he ain't over there in Triple R, New Japan right now, so I think that's an imposing figure that Oba Femi could go run through, but I am curious to see who's going to be that next person to step up to him.
Yeah, we got Gunther as a prospect. You know, Roman talked about it last night during the post show as well. So those are two major matches they could really go into, but I think they're saving them for a later date. I just don't know when. As you said, who could be next in line to step up to Oba? I don't know. Could it be a potential NXT call-up? Could it be somebody already on the main roster? Could it be an Omos from Triple A in Japan potentially? I don't know. But they've positioned him as the next guy right now. And I am also thinking about the prospect of the future of him and Bron Breakker at some point down the road as well. So plenty of options for them to go with Oba. But it's very clear that on this night, they have made their decision. Oba's got next. And we said this a year or so ago when we saw that main event in Stand and Deliver with Javon, Oba, and Trick. That Paul Levesque, for someone that did not see color until apparently Sunday night, you now have three potential WrestleMania main eventers that can deliver and serve in different ways. And there is no excuse because all three of them are over.
Yeah, not only that, they're over, they're ready, and the crowd is fully behind all of them. Mm-hmm. All completely different, all got their own swag, all got their own vibe to them. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what this year brings, especially going off of what we saw at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I want to shout out, even though I was dragging him a little bit because I don't like the dynamic, but Lil Yachty was on the post show last night highlighting the importance of these Black men being spotlighted, saying African-American men. And Trick says, no, let's paraphrase that, African and American. Let's get that like straight as well. But it was a shout out to Nigerian roots for Oba Femi, which I appreciated too. So like Oba, Trick, Javon for the culture. Shout out to Yachty for just mentioning that in that moment of what it means to see Black men thriving in WWE.
Yeah, I've been on board with Lil Yachty since he done showed up. I think he's been really good. I think he's been a nice addition. And like I said, I'm cool with Yachty being around.
I just want him doing the ad-libs. That needs to be Booker T. The ad-libs flow better with Booker, okay? Nice, but Yachty's a really fun manager. I will say that. He's a fun manager type role character, indeed. As we get to our opening match of the night, which is the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane versus the new WWE Women's Champion, Rhea Ripley and Io Sky, and their last tag team match for now as they fought the Kabuki Warriors. I need Io Sky to stop diving through the ropes, because girl, you landed on your head again, and if you keep doing that and you keep taking risks like that, you're gonna scare me. But she popped right back up because she's a pro, and she recovered, was able to have Rhea hit the riptide on Kairi Sane. Io goes up top, hits the over the moonsault for the victory. They win, and later on in the show they bid adieu because Rhea Ripley is now going to hold things down on SmackDown, and Io is going to hold things down on Monday Night Raw. Bittersweet finish, but it is time for Rhea to move on for now from this tag team. But as I said last night during the post-game live special, there is money in another rematch between Io and Rhea, because Io still is the only person that can say, you haven't beaten me, Rhea.
Yeah, the match was fine. It was what it was supposed to do, which is get your new women's champion and Io Sky a nice victory. I am curious to see what Io Sky does going forward. You know, I think she's definitely established herself as a top player, especially beside Rhea. But where does she slot in now on this Raw side going forward? You know, as we're going to talk about, we got some call-ups. We just have the normal crew who is there. Becky Lynch eventually will move up to that top, you know, that world title division eventually. I don't foresee her always being in the IC title. Where does Io Sky slot in? And is she just somebody for, you know, the champion to make look good? Or is she somebody that you really build and have kind of be your top baby face? So I am very curious to see where she gets slotted now that Rhea's going to be gone.
Yes, Fernando suggesting Io versus Liv Morgan, which could be a great match if they choose to go there in that direction.
Yeah, that's a nice natural progression.
I agree. So we shall see how Io's presented. We know that Paul Levesque loves her, but he has done Hype Joshi a few times with her when she was champion. So hopefully that does not happen again if she's going to be back in the championship picture this spring and summer in WWE. As that brings us to our CM Punk in-ring promo. And I loved the humility of this promo. I want to get on the Las Vegas crowd because y'all almost tried it by trying to what a guy paying tribute to people that he's lost over the last 6 months. And he notated the names of people that worked behind the scenes in WWE, the tribute he paid to them on his jacket last night at WrestleMania. As soon as they understood what he was going, they proceeded to not chant what. And then some of them had the nerve to chant boring. So, like, we need to get out of Vegas because now we've overstayed our welcome by 2 days. But y'all was trying it. But thankfully, that was, you know, not a hijacked moment. And the fans that had since were with Punk's promo. And he basically said, as I was grieving privately, you got me through this publicly by holding things down as champion, by coming to work every week, by putting in great matches and giving my best. I thank y'all for being there for me when I needed you. And even though I lost this championship last night at WrestleMania, it does not replace the losses of those in my life. But I know that you're going to get me through this too. And this too shall pass. But with every opportunity that presents itself, I'm ready to go whenever that time comes. I'm ready for whatever opportunity lands in my lap when the time comes. I just had to wait and bide my time to become World Heavyweight Champion. So I'll just bide my time again. And that leads to Cody Rhodes coming out. Lord have mercy. That man looked like he's been through it. That black eye was giving Debo, you got knocked the F out from Friday. The man looked like he was going through it. Comes out there hobbling in his suit, got his championship still. And he is remarkably impressed that CM Punk is not acting like a loser. Because Cody says, I look like a loser, but I'm not a loser. But I'm very shocked that you're not crashing out. You're not flipping out, throwing a fit. Like Punk says, I'm good. Yeah, I think I was going to freak out over losing at WrestleMania. No, I'm fine. This too shall pass. Opportunities will fall in my lap and present themselves as he looked at Cody's championship as I'm good. I'm not a loser. Are you calling me a loser? And Cody's like, no, I think that you are quite brave. I'm very proud of you. And I'm glad that you're the bigger man about this. But they're definitely teasing a WWE championship match between Punk and Cody for somewhere down the road. As Cody says, you name the time and place, and hey, you can have this shot. And Punk was like, yeah, bet. I enjoyed this despite some elements of the crowd pissing me off.
Yeah, I think CM Punk's been fantastic throughout his entire world title run. The build to WrestleMania especially, I think he hit another level. Classic WrestleMania match, and then this follow-up, come off of a loss and just kind of explain what you're going through, the why, and then kind of now you have almost have a new goal to set, where he's like, you know, especially talking to Cody, yeah, I really like the promo. And they could be easily foreshadowing WrestleMania 43's main event or one of the main events, especially when you consider that we could be getting a Rock versus Roman, which doesn't need a title. So the world title can be free, can go to anybody, but this could be your other night closing. Cause we all know the women are not closing in Saudi.
No,
that is not happening. The year after, there's a good chance you'll probably get a night one close, but in Saudi, not happening.
Child, we've already resigned ourselves to what's not going to happen next year.
Yeah, and that's why Bianca was like, you know what? I can skip this WrestleMania too. If I'm gonna skip one, it's gonna be this one too.
Okay.
I think you couldn't have laid out a better losing promo to come back with, and then for Cody to come out like that, it does set the stage for whenever that match does happen. That's a WrestleMania or SummerSlam closing match.
And listen, WWE so scared, they didn't even run advertising for Saudi Mania next year. It was like, we ain't even touching that yet. Because, you know, we are in a war right now, and that show is up in the air. So if things are not sorted out by this time next year, New Orleans, you might get your WrestleMania back. You might, potentially. So we'll see. But as Scott said, if we are going to Saudi Mania for next year, the women would not be main eventing. We can wait to 2028, or the consolation prize will be, hey, ladies, you get SummerSlam in Minnesota.
That's...
And I'm cool with that.
Yeah, that ain't bad. Hey, listen, you let the women close out SummerSlam. That's not... Obviously, it's mad. You know, it's like, it's not WrestleMania, but to close out SummerSlam for two nights, that ain't bad.
No, and I think that Becky said it right. Like, we have the conditioned fans to expect the women can be in these spotlights and not just have them determined by the same four guys. Like, let's shake up the monotony of this and just give other people the chance to shine if you tell the stories accordingly. Because when you tell stories, guess what? The people invest and they care, and then they want to see the card they most look forward to get elevated to the top. So we'll see. If they have that mindset heading into this year's SummerSlam or next year's SummerSlam, if we're doing full-on Saudi Mania next year in Saudi Arabia. As we get to our next matchup on the show, which is Javon Evans versus NXT call-up All Ego Ethan Page. I am so happy he got called up to Monday Night Raw and he doesn't have to suffer through the AI co-pilot SmackDown booking of it all, and he gets to be on a competently booked show. And of course, it played into the Javon All Ego rivalry from NXT last year, and it was a really good match. I was like, well, somebody's got to win. Ethan's making his debut on the main roster. He's not going to lose. And they are crafty with how it happened, because Rusev still has beef with Javon Evans for the ladder match at WrestleMania the night before. For the IC title, Javon fights off Rusev, but he does not fight off Ethan Page's finisher for the W. Rusev attacks Javon after the match is over. Penta makes a save. All Ego gets involved. He trips Penta off the top rope. That allows Rusev to go after Penta, lock in his submission hold. And now we could have a potential tag team match or a fatal four-way for the IC title at a date to be determined, probably Backlash.
Yeah. You know, Rusev is mad because Javon Evans jumped at him on the ladder, and Rusev was like, cool, I'll jump too. I'll jump right into your cutter over there. So, but I digress. Great spot. Listen, I'm a big, big Paige fan. I think Ethan's going to do great things. One of the goats is going to be retiring probably here soon, talking about Mike, and he's going to need somebody who can fill those shoes. And I think Ethan Page is that guy. Eat up a lot of segments. I think he'll be IC champion next 3 to 4 months. And I just think he can do and be anything they need him to be on the roster. He can work with the main eventers. He can be that guy to take the fall and still be able to get heat and do what he needs to do. So I think he's going to be fantastic on the main roster. I think he's going to get over very quickly, and I think he's going to just, because he can slot him anywhere, he's going to be on TV every week.
You know, the reason why I was so silent is because you think you're cute and you think you're slick, and you was going to try to squeeze in a little Mike love saying, when one of the greats step aside and Ethan can just step in his shoes, you try to be real smooth with it. But I caught that and my brain malfunctioned. And also Fernando caught the shade too. And he says, Ethan is way more than a Miz. Thank you, Fernando. Because what we're not going to do is have you slide a little Miz love in there and say, when one of the greats leaves, and then all ego can slide in. Listen, all ego is on a different level. Don't play with my man like that. Don't do that. Let Mike go to American Gladiators on Amazon Prime. And unfortunately, I'll make time to watch to see if he's a better host than Redacted and Layla Ali.
Who is the other host? Who's Redacted?
He's dead. Take three guesses.
Oh, God. That's okay.
Listen, clue number one, you can't avoid a Netflix ad featuring him.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. Got it. But yeah, I mean, Ethan's great. He's just not a two-time Grand Slam champion like Mike is. You know, not a lot of people are. So it's nothing to be ashamed of. That's why I said, like, I think he'll do great filling in for one of the GOATs.
See, once again, here you go. One of the GOATs lies, and then two-time Grand Slam champion on a fluke. The man bought a briefcase, cheated to become a Grand Slam champion, and got beat by Bobby Lashley on a Monday Night Raw in a lumberjack match to restore order to the timeline, which blessed me because the pandemic time was sad times for me to endure that.
You know, the more we talk about it, the more I just, the brothers that Mike has genuinely helped out and got over. Things that he has done for the brothers.
Shut up.
Bobby Lashley, R-Truth, Carmelo Hayes. I mean.
Oh, my God.
Shout out to Mike, man. Just shout out to Mike.
You know what? I'm going to let you have that because I have to put this in a sentence. Michael has done more for Black people than Brock Lesnar has done for Black people besides Obafemi. That's why Kofi says, after all these years, I was avenged last night at WrestleMania. So yes, reparations. Mike Mizanin has provided wrestling reparations for our brothers. I would give him that.
They offered to give Xavier Woods a WWE title, and then they was like, but don't forget, you got to lose to Brock Lesnar in about 2 months.
And then Xavier says, well, I'm not going to do that. So we can just, okay. I'm good. And thank you, Fernando. Ethan Page will surpass Miz and gender.
Why did gender get astray? why did a former WWE champion and WrestleMania United States winner get a random stray? I don't understand.
Deserved. But as we move on to our next segment, which is the new WWE Women's World Champion Liv Morgan. So I've noticed that song is now catchy for a lot of people. Trouble, that's me. It is catchy, and people say the song is terrible. Listen, y'all, I've heard worse songs. I've heard worse. This isn't bad. You know, Liv should be one and done as a singer, but this is not a bad song for her. And I love that for her. She comes out, gets great heat, she gets a pop, and, you know, she declares herself the greatest women's world champion of all time. And she thanks her people. Fernando, listen, the song is going to get in your ear, and you will sing Trouble when you're at work. Stop. It's catchy. You deny it now, but you will grow to love it. But I've heard worse. So she thanks her Judgment Day family for being there for her. thanks Stephanie as well in a very backhanded kind of way. And then we get Sol Ruka coming out. And shout out to Vegas. You know, shout them out that much because they were trying it all weekend in some ways. She came out to a pop. They know who she is. And, you know, she was, you know, congratulating Liv Morgan on her accomplishments. Liv was like, why are you out here ruining my moment? This wasn't your time. And she was trying to be polite, saying, get on out of here right now. And David, I'm going to get to you in a minute. But, you know, Sol was like, listen, congrats to you. I'm happy for you. But yet and still, I am ready for this moment. I'm ready to step up because I'm not backing down to Liv. We'll get to the match in a moment, but Scott, your thoughts on the promo exchange before I respond to someone in this chat.
Yeah, Sol coming out, it just goes to show where they, what they see in her. For her to come on and interrupt the champion during her moment like that worked really well, led into a really good match. So honestly, you can't ask for much more of a better debut from an NXT call-up, especially if she's going to lose. That's the way to go out.
Yes. Hello, David. I summoned you. I talked about you earlier because you were, in fact, correct. Now, what we have to await for is whether or not the twins are named Brenda and Brianna.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you that one of those twins is not going to be named Brenda. Brianna's Brianna's a good possibility. I could see Brianna with no issues, but I'm going to go ahead and let you know, David, Bianca and Montez will not be naming their daughter Brenda.
That won't be happening. Okay, facts. Brianna, possibility. Brenda, no. But if this comes to pass, David, I need you to tell me like lottery numbers for Mega Millions, the Powerball, any local market that I live in for the numbers. I just want your suggestions so you can help me win. But you will get credit. You will get partial credit for the pregnancy because you were correct. You were correct. You read my mind.
You've been correct for a long time.
You listen, he stood on business every week.
You've been correct for a long time, buddy. I give you that too. You've been calling this for a while now.
Nostradamus, David, came through with one factual source vetted story. Congratulations to you. But their child be called what?
Felicia.
Sir Fernando.
won't be Felicia either. I'm going to tell you that.
Sir. It will not be Felicia. But getting to the match itself, hot damn, Saruk is great. Out the box already. This match against Liv was really good. And I need people to cut the shit saying, well, they go to the PC and they practice all these matches and really don't know how good they are unless they're out the PC, blah, 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 blah. Fuck that. Excuse my language. Fuck that. Because they went out there and had a great match. Liv was great. Sol was great. The crowd was with it. She was doing incredible stuff. And in one night, despite the loss, she got over, man. The way she counted the Oblivion into the Soul Snatcher and then hit the dive on the outside, which was great. Like, she showed out and she presented herself as a star. And nothing felt practiced and rehearsed. And, oh, that's all it is, practice at the PC. Get out of here. Like, she's really good. Liv is really good. And they had a really good match. Zarya got involved, cost Sol the victory. But in defeat, Sol looked like a fucking star. And I love that for her.
Yeah, that NXT class that's getting caught up right now is going to probably be looked back on the way that like Orton, Cena, Batista, and Brock are all kind of looked at, because I mean, like, what we're talking about with Sol is potentially to be a headliner, be a top female in that roster, and they can use it, especially with losing two top women in Naomi and Bianca. Like, you need somebody to kind of fill that gap. New champions, we got crowned and stuff. So I think it was a great move. I'm okay with her taking the loss. Get that out the way. Don't have to worry about a winning streak Now we just worry about rebuilding it and just showcasing her every single week.
Yeah. Solely Oblivion, like a boss too, man. Like, she just went out there and just had a great showing, won the crowd over. I said this a long time ago. I was kind of looked at funny when I said she's going to be like a game changer in the women's division. The Vision is coming into focus. Thank God. I'm very thankful for that. And I'm very happy for Soul. And I thought this was a great showing for her. Despite the L, this was a great showcase for her. The people knew who she was. And when she went out there and busted out those moves, some things we've never seen before, like the Oblivion counter was wild. That was crazy. So, like, as I said before, they rehearsed, they practiced. And no, this was day of, and they went out there and they delivered. And shout out to Liv, because apparently they lied, talking about, wish couldn't go out there and work a long match for Saturday because she was hurt. She worked 15 minutes tonight. Lies.
Maybe Stephanie was hurt.
Maybe. But Liv was perfectly fine tonight, and she put on a great match, and Soul was right there with her, and I enjoyed it. Had a great time watching this match. And Lady B mentions, meanwhile, I'm still not over the Jagged Edge callback on Friday. Listen, for the culture, one of the blackest segments on UPN was the Teddy Long and Crystal wedding. A beautiful moment.
Yeah. Very, and then followed right behind that, real neck and neck is Bobby Lashley and Lana.
Sir, no. Even though I love my Liv reveal, but no. Hell no. No.
The reveal of what? Her being the lover or being the lover of Lana?
Well, listen, the reveal of her being the lover of Lana and the fit and the cake, I enjoyed. She ate that. But otherwise, child. Mm. My girl Liv went through a lot of stuff to get to where she is today. She went... The struggle was long, y'all.
She got beat up by Charlotte. It was like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm leaving. I'm taking my ball and going home. But when I come back, things are going to be different. And she came back out of a tub. Because when the vignettes were her in the tub.
Yeah, it was her in the tub. Came back. Yeah, came back. Came back
out the tub and was like, you know what, Lashley? You can't have her because I have her. And then, and look at where we are now.
Yes. And my girl's a two-time champ. Struggle was a long ways coming, man. But shout out to Becky because she saw the Vision before she left with her baby as well and came back. Like, she saw the Vision in advance and she planted the seeds and the foundation. So we've come a long way. We've come a long way. And David asks, do we see Sonya Deville coming back to WWE? She's in TNA. It's a portal. Yes.
No.
It's emphatic.
No. No, she won't be coming back.
Never say never. Never say never.
She'll never come back.
Wow, never. Do you realize who came back in the last 10 years? CM Punk, Cody? She'll never come back? Really? Even through the TNA portal, she'll never come back?
No, she's going to stick to making impacts.
Lies. Stop it. What a pun, too. What a pun that was. My gosh. Alrighty. So after that, we had Finn Balor versus JD McDonagh. It was a Monday Night Raw special match, or like on the average Monday Night Raw. If you would tune in like next week, for example, the match was perfectly fine. Finn got the win. After the match was over, Dirty Dominic attacked Finn, and this feud must continue for reasons. Because we're booking in reverse.
Well, I mean, yeah, you already got the demon, so now what? You can't bring him back out.
No. So
it's gonna be like, what are we doing, man? I would have found a way to save this match for like Backlash. Why not? I mean, what are we doing, man? We just on repeat. WrestleMania is supposed to end feuds, and it looks like it's starting feuds, but it is what it is.
Now, Scott, how long have you been a wrestling fan? Give me the exact year.
It's a C07, so we're looking at about 19 years.
19 years strong. I've been a fan since 1999. Been following WWE for about 26 years as well. Sir, you know damn well that what continues at WrestleMania rolls over into Backlash. These feuds must continue. Nothing is truly blown off. Now, as you said, what sense does it make to bring out the demon for WrestleMania and then come back as regular ass Finn Balor for your next match? It makes no sense. But shout out to Finn, though, because you get one cheddar biscuit because you know what, you shaved your beard and now you look like 10 years younger.
Well, that man said, listen, I'm trying to get that last push to see everybody else getting their big pushes on these late years. Maybe I can get mine, too.
And Randy says he would like to face Finn at some point as well. So yes. Do what you must. Look younger, because listen, natural baby face, abs for days, shave that beard. Looking like a 50-year-old when you really 40-something. Stop aging yourself just for no reason. But let's get to our next segment involving The Vision and Paul Heyman. So Paul Heyman was very upset at Punk shouting out the production crew, the people that worked behind the scenes, because during the WWE Signature Open, as of tonight, when you look at then, now, and forever, Brock is still featured in the now portion. And Paul was like, listen, you stupid bitches. And he said this direct quote, I'm not making this up. He said he should be in the forever section. So we're going to be looking at NXT tomorrow night for Revenge Part 2 to see if the production crew has in fact moved Brock Lesnar to the forever portion of this opening signature by WWE. We shall see if they act that fast in the next, 18 hours to see what they do. But in the interim, we cut to Logan Paul getting heat for just speaking, and he can barely talk because the crowd is booing him. And I love that for me and his noodle hair. Good. Then we get Seth Rollins coming out as soon as Bron Breakker comes out. And Seth goes in on the attack and he hits Bron so hard he cuts the side of his ear and he's bleeding. And that enables Seth to get jumped by the Vision. Then after 6 long months, guess who comes back? The Street Profits, Montez and Angelo come out there to even the odds, go after the Vision. And I'm like, this is a fresh matchup. Thank God they're away from SmackDown and they're aligned with Seth. I like that a lot because, hey, that's a nice proximity to a big time star. And it's a different change of scenery for them. So they fight Theory and Logan Paul backstage, but that allows Bron Breakker to corner Seth again. Hit him with 2 spears, stands tall as we built towards that backlash match in Tampa in a few weeks' time. Effective segment. Very happy to see the Street Profits back because apparently Dawkins and Montez Ford, as they said, literally, they don't know how to pull out.
Okay.
Their quote, Scott, I'm just going for what they said.
I got it.
They call themselves the Skeet Profits.
I saw. that's the tweet was weak pullout game is strong. That's a crazy thing to say. But listen, you know, Bianca was like, I can't be on the road, so if I'm gonna be home, you gotta go. So you can go talk to somebody and go get back in there. This would be a good match. I think they'll probably take the titles pretty quickly. I don't see any reason for Logan Paul and create a rest of 35 to continue holding those belts. But
wow.
But
wait, Paul, Scott. Who is creator wrestler number 35?
The guy who's tagging with Logan Paul right now.
Wow.
He just got the vest. Like, we just got enough points to buy the vest. So we got that going.
Wait. So you, who was once a champion for one Austin Theory, has now regulated him to creator wrestler number 35 on 2K26.
That's who he is right now. Like, there's nothing distinguishing him from the guy that you create on 2K26, like when you first start and you have nothing, like there's nothing distinguishing either one from each other.
You know what? I want to praise you for finally seeing my vision for what I have not seen in this man for years. Thank you. Because I don't see it. John Cena said he couldn't see it. He said, when you beat me at WrestleMania 3 years ago, we still ain't going to see it. And we never going to see it at this rate. We ain't never going to see it. We have reached our limits with him. He ain't it. And I'm cool with that. Paul Heyman, throw the L up. He ain't it. Now, miracles could still happen. Sure. But it, no. No.
Just take him off the road for a little bit. Let him come back. He'll be all right.
Didn't we do that already?
Nah, that wasn't what you were supposed to do. You took off Austin Theory and you brought back Creator Wrestler. So you did it the wrong way. Now you have Creator Wrestler and then you can bring back Austin Theory.
No, what happened was he brought back Justin Timberlake as a Creator Wrestler from Future Sex Love Sounds. And now we're stuck.
Either way, we stuck until the Skeet Profits can pull out the victory.
You were trying to save it, but listen, yeah. I'm glad to see them back. Blessings, get them a hell away from SmackDown, and it has opened the opportunity for them to just get those belts off of the Vision. I think about the Usos if you want to run that feud back as well. We just need competent teams built up on Monday Night Raw. That is still a weak spot for this division. They've got to cultivate tag teams. They have to build teams up to make this make sense at the end of the day. But I'm here for the collaboration between Seth and the Street Profits. That could be fun. That could be really fun. As we now get to
be an interesting dynamic.
I agree as well. As we mentioned earlier, Rhea Ripley saying farewell to Io Sky because she has to go on SmackDown. She's their champion now, got to hold things down. They have an emotional goodbye, and the fans do all. So they're very sensitive about this moment. And then we have Liv sitting in the cut and saying, I'll see you around. And then Rhea turns around and says, count on it. I was like, ooh, the awe from the crowd when they saw Liv. It's like, okay, like there's still juice in what this could be. And as I said before, it would not shock me one day to see Liv and Rhea reunite as a tag team. Not this year, but somewhere down the line. But right now they could be teasing like a crown jewel situation if they're going to hold their titles that long. We shall see. But there is a lot of money to be made with them reuniting as a team at some point, because we know that Paul Levesque is good for a long-term story and he'll milk it for a good 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, we'll see if there's any meat to this bone or if it's just we know they have history. Let's just get an interaction. But yeah, we'll see what happens if anything comes of it in the next probably 6 to 8 months.
Yes, for sure. And I still don't trust Roxanne Perez because she's never said what her stance is on Finn's getting excommunicated from the Judgment Day.
Yeah, there's still a lot of story left for the Judgment Day itself. As far as right now, though, I think they'll be fully behind her while she tries to defend her title from all these new challenges that seem to be popping up.
Absolutely. As we now get to the main event segment of Monday Night Raw, which is the new World Heavyweight Champion Roman Reigns, flanked alongside the Usos, Jimmy and Jay. And Roman is very proud to be champion, but he wants to take care of some family business first, saying, hey, when we're apart, we don't thrive as much. We're fractured. We're not on the same page. But when we're together, we're here. We're solid. And, you know, I don't want you to acknowledge me. I want you to stand beside me. Let's be a happy family. We can get back to where we were, get back the power. Let's kumbaya. Let's make amends. And I'm like, that's random. You know, do I believe this magnanimous Roman Reigns to say, I want you to stand beside me and not follow me? We'll see. We'll see. So Jimmy was like, yeah, I'm down. Speaking for Jay, I'm like, I'm wondering who's going to turn here, because I think that this Bloodline reunion is going to have a turn at some point. I do believe that. And then Jacob Fatu surprisingly comes out and he's like, listen, hey, I'm not here to acknowledge you. I don't want your championship. I need that championship. I need it for myself. I need it for my family because I want to wear the fancy kicks. I want the Rolly. I want the schools for my kids. I want the bigger house. I want the cars. I want the deals. I want it all. I want what you have. So to have that, I need this championship. Point blank, period. And Roman's like, you know what? I want that for you too. I want your family eat. I want your family to eat as well. But you know, you have to understand this. What are you willing to do to get it? And once you have this potentially, are you ready to accept the responsibility of what it means to be champion? So it's not a yes, it's not a no, but we'll reconvene next week, give you a week to think about it. Then we can talk about it next week on Monday Night Raw, mic drop, the Usos follow Roman in tow. So I was not expecting Jacob Fatu versus Roman at Backlash for the World Heavyweight Championship, but we're going to get it. And Roman, I think he's locked in as champion. He's in the business, I think, for this run of delivering hits and bangers and great matches. And we'll see where this goes. But this Bloodline reunion, I smell a rat, and I still think it's Jay.
I think all of them are turning. I think it's going to start as a good thing, start as a wholesome thing. And then I think it's just going to slowly become more about, hey, now that we got the power, we need to make sure we keep the power. So I think that it starts with the righteous cause, and it just, you live long enough to see yourself become the villain type deal. That's where I see this going, especially if you want to crown Obafemi or something like that. You stack the odds and make it even seem more insurmountable and for him to even overcome even more. But yeah, this was great. Fatu coming out, being the guy, he just came off a big victory as well. Him versus Roman should be a great match. That's a match that anybody look forward to whenever you saw them face to face, and going for the world title. That's a big deal for Jacob Fatu. Roman is definitely in the business of taking care of his family for the business. So I'm with it.
Me too. And I like Roman's focus of this run of being like, hey, I'm just going to go out here and put out great matches. Cause this is like padding the resume now of like, I had this really long reign as champion for like 1,000+ days. It was great. And my matches were very sporadic, but I showed up when I needed to. This was like, every time I'm going to show up, I'm going to deliver a match of the year candidate. And I love that for him. And he's got capable challengers who can give him that energy for each one of these matchups when the time comes.
All different matchups too. Like the one we just got with CM Punk, classic. And what we're going to get with Fatu is going to be completely different. But it's still going to have a very strong, chaotic feel to it. And then you have the story of what's the Usos going to do? Like, how are they going to act? Are they going to be interfering on the outside? There's a lot of layers and story to be told. So I am curious to see how this Bloodline 2.0 run's really going to work and how long it is going to be played out for.
Me too. It should be a lot of fun. And that was the Raw after WrestleMania. I thought it was a pretty solid show. We got some call-ups from NXT. We had some surprises, some fresh matchups, some retreads heading into Backlash, but that is par for the course when it comes to WWE post-WrestleMania. And then, of course, we have NXT Revenge playing out tonight on the CW with more call-ups probably happening on SmackDown this Friday. And Lauren knows they need help.
Yeah, I they're going to get a little influx with like Rhea Ripley and stuff like that for Friday nights, but I mean, they definitely need some help. Where do you get it from to fill a 3-hour show? That's the first thing you need help with, is how you cut an hour off that show and what you can fill it with. But yeah, there's not a lot you can do except just book your women a little bit better, give them a little bit more time, a little bit more promo time. Like Chelsea Green can eat up segments. Just give her the mic and let her talk, let her rant. But yeah. They need help.
They do. They need Jesus. Let's be honest. They need a lot of help to get through this patch of time. And also, the 2 hours are coming back. This is temporary. By June, I think they're going back the 2 hours. So you're taking an hour back, which is good. Unfortunately, for those that benefited from 3 hours, you're going to lose an hour of real estate. But then you really have to tighten up that 2-hour show and showcase as many people as you can in those 2 hours, we'll see what they do with it in due time. But that is a wrap for the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, as we almost bid adieu this year that was for WrestleMania season, a long, winding road of twists and turns that would be highlighted for season 3 of WWE Unreal, which might be the most unreal season they've ever put together, because the excuses shall be grand, because I cannot wait for the TKO episode of them explaining the merits of Pat McAfee being a part of the main event and then getting written off like it was nothing via his own radio show today.
Yeah, shout out to Unreal. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. This is a great show. Shout out to the chat. Appreciate y'all coming through. And yeah, really looking forward to Unreal season 3. For a couple reasons. Not only that, I do want to see how they spin the whole, oh my God, another injury. Oh my God, another injury. Oh my God, another injury. And at the end, you're going to see Triple H. This is what we do.
We have to adapt and adjust. We have to be able to be flexible in these moments to know that we have to do something to accommodate our fans and our talent, obviously. And despite all allegations from TKO, I have the final say at the end of the day. Ari Emanuel doesn't know ball and he can fuck right on off. And those are my words on that. And if he doesn't believe me, he can look at, you know, Nick Khan's chat, even though he might delete my messages on his end. But hey, and still, I stand on business. Now let me get that Emmy Award for Best Supporting Actor in a docuseries, because I'm serving facts and fiction at the same time.
That's what they're going for.
Listen, this is award-winning stuff to spin what will be the craziest road to WrestleMania and the Pat McAfee walk back, which is incredible. It's incredible when you think about it in hindsight. But that is a wrap for the night after WrestleMania. And we want to thank all of you for joining in on the live chat. We thank you. And we'll be back next Monday. A normalized episode of Monday Night Raw. No WrestleMania to talk about for the next year or so, as we begin that road to Backlash in a couple of weeks' time in Tampa, Florida. So I want to thank everybody in the chat. I want to thank Perky Scott Young. He was perky 2 days in a row, which is a miracle. He'll be back to being salty, trust and believe, next Monday right here on the Fikey Media Network YouTube channel. So until then, enjoy the rest of the week ahead. Enjoy NXT Revenge tonight on the CW, the fallout from WrestleMania on Friday Night SmackDown in USA. And until next week, that's this week for myself and Perky Scott Young. That is a wrap for all things WWE. Take care and bye-bye.